سورة الفاتحة.
بسم الله.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Sixth night of Muharram in the year 1432 after Hijrah. And the subject that we have been discussing is titled The School of Imam Hussein, the lessons that we learn from Imam Hussein. To understand Imam Hussein, we are comparing his times to the times of the other Imams to see in depth what was the message and the stand of Imam Hussein and what did he want to teach us. One of the things that we had learned is the fact that any society has two groups of people. One people are the followers, and a second group that is the leaders. The bulk of any society is made up of followers, of people who follow others. They look towards others for guidance, for inspiration, for knowing what they should be doing. Then you have the leaders. The leaders are those who lead others. They are the ones who formulate ideas and implement them in the society. Yesterday I discussed about the fact that these leaders usually end up becoming tyrants and zalim. Because they see the weak and they are strong, they take advantage of the weak, and they end up becoming rulers, and they end up becoming tyrants. The way Islam wanted to solve this problem, the way Islam wanted to prevent those people who are strong from taking advantage of the weak, was by doing two things. One, by putting a wali and wilayat over the society, so that if anyone who is strong wants to take advantage of the weak, then the wali would get in between and make sure that does not happen. And the second way that Islam wanted to protect the society was to make those people who are average and followers muttaqi and have the fear of Allah, so that based on Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, they can protect themselves and the society from any evil that is growing in it. And when Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar is not done, meaning enjoining to good and forbidding evil, if it is not done in any community or in any society, the society will start to decline in their morals and values. And hence, when we looked at the time of the Prophet, where he had taught Islam had established good as good, evil as evil. What was good was regarded as good. What was evil was regarded as evil. But one wrong began to be seen. Dhulm started to happen. And people saw evil taking place. They did not say anything. They did not stop it. They did not speak out against it. And hence, when we came to the time of Imam Ali, he is describing his time, which is 25 years after the Prophet. He is describing his time by saying that good is regarded as evil and evil is regarded as good. You see, by not doing Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar, how fast a society has declined. From the era of the Prophet, where good is regarded as good, good people were regarded as good, evil people were regarded as evil, it has come in 25 years that society has become such, now those who are the evil in the society are respected and honored, and those who are the good in the society as regarded as evil. Wow. You see how soon things change when Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al-Munkar is not done. And this is something for us on our own self to understand, my friends. That when we see wrong happening, when we see evil happening, then there must be that Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al-Munkar that is done. We need to stop that from happening, even if it's small. But sometimes over here, some ethical and moral notes that we need to take down. Some akhlaqi lessons we need to learn. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Sometimes what happens is that when we say Amr bil Ma'ruf Nahi al Munkar, you always have people who want to do it, but really a lot of times we need to understand the goal of Amr bil Ma'ruf is to establish good. And the goal of Nahi anil Munkar is to eradicate evil, eradicate wrong. My friends, understand this much. That is the goal. The goal of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar is not to put someone down and say, I'm going to make him look bad. You see, the goal, if you see someone doing wrong, a lot of times, we do Amr and Nahi. But some things we need to realize, the way Imam Hussein taught us, again, as I said, the way Imam Hussein did Amr bil Ma'ruf, and this is something that needs to be practiced more. And the way he taught it, as I said at the end of the speech, that he made himself so good that he made those who were bad look ugly in their own eyes. So that they realize, hey, listen, how bad I am. I need to change. So that they become ashamed. They become embarrassed of themselves that they change. The goal of someone that you do Amr bil Ma'ruf Nahi al Munkar to is to make him change to the better so that he can become better. So that he can become better. A lot of times you see that it's not that you're doing it or not. If you do it, it's good. The mistake is not that you do it or you don't do it. A lot of times the mistake, it is in how you do it. How do you do this? How do you advise others? How do you say things to others that you want them to stop? See, a lot of times it's this issue. Because a lot of most problems and most issues and most arguments and fights happen not because of good and bad, but because of how you do it. I mean, how you do it? You know, long time ago I gave an example, and I'll repeat that example here. You know, so you understand it. You know, there are many ways that you can say something. And both ways might be true. Both ways are true, but one is right, the other would be regarded as wrong. You know. For example, I can say your father wants you. Your respected and honored father wants you. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for telling me that. Go, alhamdulillah. This is one way of saying it. Or you can say, the person who sleeps with your mother wants you. That's also true. But you see, them words are fighting words. You see, both are true. But understand this. Everything is in how you're saying it, not what you're saying. What you're saying is right in both ways. But the way you said it was wrong. You see, the issue a lot of times is not in advising. It's in how you advise that creates problems. Many times we don't realize it. When we are doing our ulama, it's not to make him look bad, it's to change him for the better. If you take that as a chance to say that, you know what, let me get one up on him and show him that he's bad. What are you going to get out of that? The goal is not that. The goal is to stop the wrong from happening so that he can become better. That's the goal. My friends, a lot of times this is important. And if we become a society that will do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar in a way that we understand the goals of every individual and understand that, listen, I see this wrong, let me approach it in a way that he will understand it. If you see someone doing wrong, that we have that famous history. When Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam were young, they were young. And one of the companions of the Prophet was making wudu, and his wudu was incorrect. So Imams of the time, they had more knowledge. Even though they were children, they were more knowledgeable than everyone else. They could have come out and say, hey, listen, you know, your wudu is wrong. We learned from our grandfather, you know. We know better. That was one way of approaching it. But you see how they approached it? They asked the man, would you see us and see if our wudu is right? They made wudu. The man looked at both of them and they made the same wudu. He looked at both of them and he said, no, you know what? You are right. I was making it wrong. You realize it. I mean, the issue is, again, how you say it. You want him to change for the better, not to make him look bad. That's not the goal of Amr ibn Ma'ruf. If we become a community like that, then we see that we will start improving and becoming a true brotherhood. That we will start to grow. That's how you do things. It's in how you do things. Look at the vision, be long-sighted, look at the goals and the consequences of what you do. Then act. Don't just act and regret later. I shouldn't have said this. Why did you say it? Why do you? Well, I wasn't thinking. Why weren't you thinking? Again, it goes back to us, you know. I said it wrong. I did the wrong thing. This is where, you see, we get problems. And so, Amr bin Ma'ruf, and then when it stops, but if you stop doing it, now this doesn't mean that you don't say anything at all. No, you have to say something, but say it in the right way. Because if you don't say it, then the community starts declining. You know, if someone uses the S word, and you don't say anything at all, soon it will become the F word. Why is that happening? Because you didn't stop the S word. You don't say anything then. The issue, my friends, is this. This is how we have to stop it. Because if we don't stop it, then a society will become, then you will have individuals who will become the leaders of evil, who are regarded as good, as was in the time of Imam Ali.
Yeah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, Muawiyah, Amr ibn As, these people were the leaders. Mm-hmm. Right? Muslims call them Amirul Mu'mineen, Dhille Ilahi, the shade of Allah on the earth. These were the titles they were given by those who said La ilaha illallah. These were the titles. You know, these were the titles that were given. They respected. This is what Imam Ali is saying. He says, this group is made because you did not do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar. He says, Minhum al Muslito bi Sayfihi wal Mu'lino bi Sharrihi. He says, these people who now have the courage to stand up against the Imam of their time with their sword, and they are open about their evil, and they say, yes, we are this, respect us the way we are. Yes, I do this, respect me the way I am. You see, why are these people happening? This is how Imam Ali is describing this group. And then, what I want to mention now is something strange that Imam Ali said right after this. And it's strange because there's a twist in it. He said, what happened to these people? He says, قَدْ أَشْرَتَ نَفْسَهُ وَأَوْبَقَ دِينَهُ. He said that they devoted themselves to get wealth and dunya, and they made their deen, they trampled their deen, they finished their deen. He said, they worked hard, they just spent themselves in the way of dunya and securing wealth and becoming leaders and getting on the pulpits and getting a throne. Wow. They spent themselves on that. They finished their deen, and then what happens? He's explaining this. At the end, he says, simple thing. Wala bi'sal matjar. He says, wala bi'sal matjar. What a bad trade they made.
Ya Allah.
What a bad trade they made. Look at how bad this trade is. How bad is this trade that they made? You see how he's saying, antara dunya linafsaka thamanan. Linafsaka thamanan. He says that they saw, what was this trade? They saw that dunya is the price of their own selves.
Wow.
You see, my friends, what I want to explain right now is one of the most subtle teachings of Islam. Subtle teachings of this deen. Right? And it's unfortunate that religion is not taught this way, the way Imam Ali is teaching it. It's unfortunate that nowadays, you know, deen is not really taught in this way that Imam Ali is teaching it. If you can understand this point today, just bear with me so that you understand this point. It is such a subtle point that if we understand in this deen, then we can really understand many things about our own self. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Imam Ali sees that in his time, good people are regarded as evil, and evil are regarded as good, to the extent that a person like Muawiyah is regarded as Amir al-Mu'mineen, as the leader of the Muslims.
Wow.
And by looking at these people, when you look at Muawiyah, what do you call them? You would call him a criminal, a tyrant, a zalim, an oppressor. Bloodthirsty. Mm-hmm. killed so many people, assassinated so many, and killed so many openly, butchered them. That's what you would call them. Imam Ali is saying, he's a bad businessman.
Wow.
Imam Ali is saying, he's a bad businessman. It's bad. The trade was bad. You know, really. He made a bad trade. I mean, looking at this statement, don't you think that Imam Ali is being too lenient on these criminals? He's being very lenient. How many of these people killed? I mean, he killed 30,000-40,000 people here. He has the blood of 30,000-40,000 people in his hands. What are you saying? Bad trade? That's it? I mean, Imam Ali should have said, all these criminals, these tyrants. But no, he's saying, it's a bad trade they made. They sold themselves for the price of dunya. That's what he's saying. That's it? That's all they did? They sold themselves for the price of dunya? Now here, my friends, I want to explain what Imam Ali is saying. It is something that we need to understand in regards to the growth and decline of human beings as individuals and as society. But individuals first.
Wow.
My friends, I want you to just know this, that what is bad? What is evil? You know, what is evil? At first level, on the first stage, evil, right? Evil is not something that is a sin or haram. Evil is not sin. Evil is not haram on the first stage. Evil is not ma'siyat. Evil is not sin. It is not crime. It is not a crime. At first level, evil is just means that you want less than what you should get for it.
Wow.
It means wanting less than what you should get for it.
Mm-hmm.
Sin, what is sin? Sin is not at the first level. Sin, what is sin? Sin comes later. At the first stage, where does it start? Where does it originate? The meaning of sin, the meaning of evil is to sell yourself for less than what you are worth.
Wow.
To sell yourself for less than what you are worth. Let me explain that. You send me salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, when you want less, when you settle for less, this is the first stage of sin. This is the first stage of sin. The first stage of sin is not clear. It's not black and white. A lot of people, they say haram and halal, black and white. That's it. The first stage of sin is about good and better. It's not the difference between black and white. It's the difference between good and better. That's where it starts. And I want you to pay attention to how Imam is describing this. This, what he's saying, and what we need to understand from this, is that you see, many times, if we are given the choice between two flowers or three flowers, you know, say, these are three flowers. All of them are good, but one of them is the best. One of them is the best. But all of them are good. Now, either a person will say, okay, you know what? Just give me anyone. If all of them are good, I'll take anyone. I'll take anyone. I'll settle for whatever. If a person has this attitude, that he will settle for good when he has the choice to get the best, then this is the person who is going towards the first stage of sin. He is not doing a crime right now, but he is killing himself.
Wow.
Understand what I'm saying? As I said, it's subtle. He is settling for less. He's saying, well, whatever is good, I'll take it. That's an attitude. Or someone can say, no, I want the best. I am going to try for the best no matter what happens. That's different. But someone who says, no, if they're all good, I'll take one. He's saying, oh, there's one good one. There's one best one in here. He says, no, I don't want the best one. Just whatever it is, I'll take it. I don't have the time for it. If a person has this attitude, a person who settles for less, he settles for good over the best, then this person is useless for religion, for Islam.
Wow.
That sort of a person is useless for the cause of Allah. He's only good for himself. Only good for himself, but not for Islam, not for Allah's cause, not for the Imam. You see, someone who settles for whatever is good, okay, I'll take it. This is the attitude. Many people have this attitude. He says, you know, I mean, they ask you, Maulana, is this halal? You know, hey, yes, okay, fine, I'll do it. But it's not good for you. I don't care if it's good for me or not. It's halal, alhamdulillah, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. I'll just do this halal, alhamdulillah, it's fine. It's good. I'll do it. What do you mean? You know, there are many times, this attitude that you settle for whatever is good, that sort of a person is taking the first step towards sin. That is the first step towards becoming a criminal. This is the first step. And this is where you see that people, if you want to grow, then you can only grow when you always want the best. Not whatever you can get. This attitude exists amongst our people. You'll see that. You know, they'll say that, is it allowed to have a tattoo? Now, you know, you're stuck. You say yes. Now, how do you explain to him, listen, it's yes, it's halal. It's halal? Oh, alhamdulillah. I get a tattoo. You know, but, you know, issue that, why are you asking if it's just halal? Why do you just want to settle for that? Why don't you ask yourself, if Imam Zamana was here, would he do that? If Imam Hussein was here, would he do that? Okay, he won't do that. Then why am I settling for less? Why am I settling for less? Why am I selling myself short? If I understand this, this is where decline starts. This is where you start to decline. If you want to decline, this is where you know how decline happens. It happens when you start settling for less than what you are worth. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, a person settles for being mediocre. As long as it's halal, I don't care. As long as it's halal, I don't care. This attitude. Friends, that's not how you look in order to grow. Maybe if you make those choices of being mediocre, maybe you might be saved, but you're on the way of decline. Maybe you might be saved, right? But it's not sure, because you're taking the first step going downwards. And friends, now let me give an example from history so we understand what I'm saying a little bit better. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
You know, Prophet had one daughter. He taught the Muslims to respect her. Allah taught the Muslims to honor her. Everyone had the lessons, you know. They all saw the Prophet respecting her, this and that. The daughter of the Prophet, Fatima, was left alone. She was left alone. No one was there with her. She was left alone. And I want you to see the difference in her loneliness and in the loneliness of Hussein. See the difference between their loneliness. She was also left alone. Hussein was also left alone. But when Fatima was left alone, was it because people hated her? Look at it. Was it because people did not like her? Was it because they wanted to kill her? No. It wasn't that people did not like her. No, they all liked her. She was respected. She was honored. No one wanted to kill her. Then why was she left alone? You see, my friend, understand this. The loneliness of Fatima is different than the loneliness of Hussein. It was different. And I want you to see, in Fatima's time, it wasn't that they wanted to kill her. Do you think that the people of Medina wanted to kill her? They all made plans that we have to kill her. Or we hate her? No. You know why they left her? They left her because she was talking too much.
Wow.
Because she was talking too much. She was saying things that didn't need to be said. She was being outspoken. And because of that, they did not hate her. They just said, come on, ask her to be quiet. Don't say these things. It's going to cause fitna. You
know,
it's going to cause fitna. No, stop her. Come on, it's a headache. Having to deal with this. Why can't we all just get along? Understand this. This was the attitude. They left her because she was saying things under, you know, that she didn't need to say. In their minds, obviously, you know, they were like, hey, you know, you don't need to say these things. You know, I mean, we already chose him as a leader. Come on, you know, you just can't bring him down like that.
Wow.
You just can't expose him like that, reveal him like that. Stop it. We like you. I mean, even the person who took the throne, who put her through all this, he also came to our door and said, hey, listen, I apologize. I mean, what does that mean? You know, the fact is that it wasn't that he wanted to kill her or do something. No. The society was not as bad then. But you see, they chose less. They settled for less. They settled for less. Now, when the time came for Hussein, his loneliness was not because they wanted him to stop talking. His loneliness was because they hated him now.
Wow.
You see, from where did the people start and where did they end? Where did they end? And many of those people who were there in the time of Fatima, Imam Hussein referred to them, you were there, you were there, you were there. All of you were companions of the Prophet.
Wow.
All of you were there. I mean, you all people. You are all there. I see your faces. You can't hide from me.
Wow.
Can't hide from me. You're there. But what was their mistake? They settled for less, my friends. They settled for less. That was their mistake. And when you settle for less, maybe you could be saved. When you're declining, maybe Allah will hit you in the face, bring some ibtala on you, some trial on you. Maybe you'll feel remorse and make istighfar and tawbah. Maybe you will change for the better and start going the other way. But my friends, a person like that who settles for less, he hasn't done a crime at first, but he's on his way to doing a crime.
Wow.
The people who came to Karbala to kill Imam Hussein, all those people, many of them, were where? They were in the army of Ali. They were fighting with Ali. They're helping Ali. They're helping Ali. They were with his father, helping him. Helping him to win the battles, helping him to win the fight. You see, all of these people were there. So what happened? You see, they settled for less. And that made that decline to such a position that now they came out to kill Hussein. You see, this, my friends, is something that needs to be understood. Crime, you don't become a criminal overnight. You start becoming a criminal by choosing less and selling yourself for less than what you are worth. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, the decline to becoming a criminal and a sinner is not, you know, steep. It doesn't go like, boom, you go down right away. No, it's a slow decline. It's a very slow decline. It's going down. You know, it's going down for sure. Yeah, you're on the way to decline if you start selling yourself for less. You know, we make du'as. You know, there's one du'a that you can make that you can say, Allah, you know, somehow by hook and crook get me into heaven somehow. Back door. You know, somehow get me inside there. You know, I might get inside there. Somehow I might go inside there. You know, if there's a side door, this and that, you know, open that for me so I can sneak in. You're happy with this. You're happy, alhamdulillah. You know, if I get there, I'll be happy. That's it. That's one way of dua. Another way of dua is saying, Allah, I don't just want to go to heaven. I want to be with the Ahlul Bayt. I want to be with them. That's where I want to be. You see, those people who just want to get in, they are only good for themselves. They're never useful for Islam. They're never useful for the Imam. Only those people who inspire to excellence and want excellence and their goal is high, they are the ones who are useful for Islam and the Imam. You want to be helpful for the Imam. You want to be a companion Imam Hussein. Then you cannot be a companion if you are settling for less and selling yourself short. If you want to be there, you have to be those people who inspire, who want excellence. They want perfection. They make dua saying that, Allah, I want to be there. When we make dua about death, we say, Allah, you know, please help me not to die. I'll give sadaqah. When it comes to death, what dua do we make? You know, I'll give sadaqah. I don't even speak about death, you know. If there's any word about death, maybe Allah will send it. I mean, you're going to die. You're going to die, right? You don't need to make dua for death. You make dua for things that are uncertain. Right? Things that are uncertain, you make dua for that. You don't make dua for that. Right? Instead of, so now what happens is that we are trying to get rid of death. When we know death is coming, this is settling for less. This is short selling yourself. Those who want excellence, they know death is coming, but they don't want death. They are saying, Allah, give me shahadat.
Yes,
I don't want to just die. I want to die in your way. I want to die in your way. I mean, how many times do you die? How many times do you die? You know, only one time, right? You die more than one time. You only die one time. If you die one time, at least make it good. See, my friends, attitude. Only high flyers are useful for Islam, those who fly high. You know, those who are just grazing the ground, you know, just want to sneak by, they're only good for themselves. They're not good for the Imam. Right. You know, like for example, like nowadays we can say, you know, because the example is there nowadays, you couldn't use it, you know, when in the Imam's time, but nowadays you can say, you know, you only get married once. Right? Yeah, some people, you know, get 2-3, you know. And some people get divorced 3 times and get married 3 times. Right? But the issue is that when you want to marry someone, you're looking for the best. Or do you say, hey, I'll take anyone who comes? Who do you want to marry? Anyone who says yes. I mean, is that your attitude towards marriage? Right? Tell me, is that your attitude towards marriage? No, it's not. That's not how you look at marriage. So when we look at death, why are we saying, you know, anywhere it comes, it comes. I don't want to look at it where it comes. No, Allah, I want to look at it. I want to see my death and I want it to be in your way.
Yes.
I want it to be in your way. Let me die in your way. I want to choose how I want to die. I want to die in your way. You see, this is the attitude of those people who want to be with the Imam. And who the Imam is looking for. My friends, our attitudes towards deen has become what? You know? Two statements I'll mention. And you see the difference. Right? I want you to see the difference. Is deen better than nothing? Or is deen better than everything? Is Islam better than nothing? You know, when I have nothing to do, I'll come to the masjid. When I have nothing to do, I'll come to the masjid. Or Islam better than everything? No matter what I have to do, I'll come to the masjid. What is my attitude? You see, those who have that attitude, Islam is better than nothing, they are only good for themselves. They cannot be useful to the Imam. Put it in your mind. They cannot be useful to the Imam. Only those people are useful to the Imam who have made their aim high. They want to fly high and they want to go high. They are the ones who have the attitude that, no, I don't settle for less. I will settle for the best. I want the best. You know, I don't want to be with you and me and this and that. You know, I don't crave your company over here. You know, I have enough of you here. I want Ahlul Bayt now. I want to be in their company. I mean, this is the attitude to have. And you see, those are the people who are useful for Islam. Salawat ala Muhammad wa alihi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, Imams are looking for achievers. Those who want to achieve greatness. Those who want to achieve excellence. They are looking for those people. Those who are mediocre and want to settle to be mediocre. Hey, that's it, you know. As long as halal, you know, I'm fine with it. If that's your attitude, then obviously those type of people, those type of individuals, they, you know, once Imam Ali alayhi salam was going by a waterfall, you know, and you see the people who are with him. He's going by a waterfall, he says, you know what, I can put light in all your houses by using this water. You see, again, here Imam Ali is saying what? That he will put light in your house. He will make the nights into light. He will lighten the nights by using this water, the waterfall. And the people who are with him, his companions, they're looking at each other and saying, there he goes again. There he goes again. he's good a lot of times, but sometimes he loses it, you know. That's an addict. I mean, you know, you see how the imams are oppressed? They didn't have people who were able to deal with them. They didn't have people who were able to go along with them. They didn't have it. You see, if you want to know if you are with the imam or not, if you can deal with the imam or not, just very simple. And I'll give you a simple secret and you learn about this, right? Very simple secret. When you make du'as and ask for hajat on the 23rd of Ramadan, you know, you have hajat, you come up, hajat, this and that. Or when you go for ziyarat, if you have been to ziyarat, you know, you see it there also. When you make ziyarat and all these things. So, what happens there? What hajat are you asking for? What is your needs? Just look at the type of needs you're asking for. Look at the type of dua you're asking for. You know? And by looking at the type of dua you're asking for, then you will understand if you are those people who are just looking after your own selves, or if you are ones who will help the imam. In du'as you ask, you know, Allah, my bills, my debts, my this, my that, my all these things and all these people, you know, that person, he wants to get me, he has his bad eye on me, he has done magic to me, help me. I'm sure my relatives have done magic on me, you know, that's why I'm going through this. I know that. You are not doing this, my relatives are doing this, you know. Allah, all these ibtala I'm going to, please take me out of this, in all these things. Is he? Hajat, you know? I don't know who makes what hajat. You know, that's not the issue. You can look at your own self, what you ask for. You know, there are those people who go for ziyarat, and you see, yeah, they're crying, Imam, my debts. Imam, my debts, and this and that. You know, a person, he came, was asking, it's an incident in the haram of Imam Radha alayhi salam, salawat ala Muhammad. He was next to the Dari and he was crying and asking Imam, Imam, help me, and all these things, you know. And someone was like, you know, I mean, he's all this shouting and this and that. So he came to him and says, listen, what do you want from the Imam? You know, this and that, you're asking so much, you know. He said, I want 10,000.
Wow.
Two man, you know. I want, you know, this is my, you know, what I'm, all this, you know, shouting for 10,000 here. Take 10,000. Don't stop bothering the imam. And the man took it out of his pocket. He said, take the 10,000. Stop bothering the imam. Let him be. Let him be in peace, man. You're asking for these things, 10,000 tuman. What are you trying to do to the imam? I mean, this is the attitude. You go there and everyone's asking for help. Everyone wants help from the imam. You see, how many of us go to the imam and say, Imam, I'm not here to ask for help. I'm here to offer my help. Who goes with that attitude? Who goes and says, listen, Imam, I'm not here to ask you for help. You've already helped me. Now I'm here to help you. Tell me, what can I do for you? Tell me, what can I do for you? Now, you see, both of you are the Shias of the Imam, you know, because you come to their haram, right? You are attached to them. But tell me, truly and honestly, who does the Imam want? Who does the Imam want? Does he want those who are asking for help, or does he want those who are offering their help? Who does the imam want? You go for ziyarat, you go to Karbala, you go to any of the imams, ask, who does he want? Both of you are Shias. We're not saying, oh, you're not Shias in this and that. No, you are also Shia. They're also Shia. But who does the imam want? If you don't know this, then let me just say one statement from the imam himself so that you can understand who does the imam want. What did the imam say on Ashura? Hal min Mansurin or Hal min Nasirin? I am looking for people who I can help, or I'm looking for those who can help me.
Yeah.
Is there any helpers who can help me? So who's the imam looking? He's looking for people who come with this faith that imam, I'm here to help you. That's who the imams are looking for. Not the people are asking, Hajjah, please, you know, imam, give me this, give me that. You know? This, my friends, this is the attitude that we must have. This is one more thing, you know, so that we understand this really well. You know, because we heard what Allah said, we heard what the imam said. Let's hear what Shaitan says. Wow. We need to hear him also. You know, hear him out, you know, be patient, you know, I'll give 3 minutes to Shaitan. Right? So he can put his 5 cents in there. Right? Our imams have said. And they said that, you know, Shaitan, when he had said that he wants to misguide the people. He wants to send them to hell. He said, how will you do that? He says, well, if I make them do sins, if I make them do haram, if I make a mu'min do haram, then the mu'min feels remorse and right away does tawbah. He says, you know, so my effort goes to waste. My work, my labor that I put in to make him do haram goes to waste. Why? Because when he does haram, when he does sin, he does remorse. He has remorse and he makes istighfar and tawbah and he comes back to Allah. Okay? Then that means that you can't misguide any mu'min then. He says, no, I can. He says, how will you do that? How will you misguide a mu'min if he can? If he does haram, you're saying that he goes back to Allah. If he does a sin, he will go back to Allah because he will feel guilty. He will feel remorse and he'll go back. He says, I will make them sell themselves for less.
Ya Allah.
I will make them make choices where it's not a sin, it's not a crime, but they are doing less than that what they can do. They are underachieving. I will make them underachieve. I will make them underachieve so that they don't feel bad about underachieving. And soon they will lose their conscience. They will lose that guilty conscience that they have. Then I will make them do haram so they don't feel remorse anymore.
Ya Allah. Vicious attack.
You see, this is how Shaitan works. He doesn't make you do haram right away. He will make you do small things. Leave this mustahab. It's only makruh.
Wow.
It's only makruh. You know, that's where he starts. And he will start you there so that you don't feel wrong about doing it. And soon he will make you get used to selling yourself short until a time will come where Imam Ali is saying that you have sold yourselves for this dunya. Wow. Dunya has become a price for you.
Yeah.
Dunya has become a price for you. Whereas Allah is saying, no, dunya is not the price of a believer. Allah is saying that the price of a believer is Jannah. Inna Allah ishtara min al-mu'minina anfusakum bi'anna lahumul jannah. He has bought the believers and their souls and their lives in exchange for Jannah, not for dunya. My friends, this is a believer. A believer does not sell himself for that. Salawat alaikum adwa alaikum
wa alaikum. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, when people sold themselves for dunya, in the time of Imam Ali, dunya, they took the price of dunya to do what? In the time of Imam Ali. They sold themselves for dunya, meaning they took the price of dunya to do what? To leave Imam Ali alone. To leave him in solitude. Not to help him. You see? Okay. You can say, you know what, that's also a sin. But maybe they didn't know, they're ignorant, this and that. Whatever the case is. They left him alone. They left him alone. But you see, it started there. Now when it came to Karbala, they took the price of dunya to kill the Imam of their time.
Ya Allah, ya Allah.
You see, from leaving him alone, it came down to killing him for dunya. You know? I mean, they slowly devalued themselves. Right? They went down. They declined. This is what happens, my friends. This is something to learn so that we know. If we want to be with the Imam, then Imams only accept those who fly high, aim high, and want excellence. They search for perfection. They search for the best that they can get. That's the attitude to have. If you want to be with the Imam. Because those who were in Karbala, they were not defeatists. They're not sad cases. They're not losers, washouts. Couldn't do anything else. That's why they ended up there. The people who were with Imam Hussein were people who strove for excellence. And they made the choice to become great.
Wow.
People who chose, they crossed the lines to come there. You know, Imam Hussein made sure on the night of Ashura that I don't have washouts here or sad cases or runaways.
Yep.
Night of Ashura, he made sure of that. He said, listen, though, if you don't want to be with me, I am allowing you to leave. Get out of here. I am allowing you to leave. Get out of here. Wow. So those who were left behind was the cream of the crop. These were the people who wanted excellence. These were the people who wanted the best, and they showed that on the day of Ashura. Imam Hussein made the choice to keep them there, and then they showed that Imam Hussein's choice was right. You see those people who stood by Imam Hussein? See those people who stood by Imam Hussein? They chose the way they died. Zuhair and Saeed stood in front of the Imam when the arrows were coming. They wanted the arrows to hit their chest. They weren't running away from death. They wanted to die. They chose the way they died. This is excellence, my brothers. This is what they were. The people, the companions of Imam Hussein were excellent. They strove for it. They chose it. They chose greatness and they got it. You know, and each and every one of them, they gave their lives for Hussein. They gave them in the worst way that you can, in the most horrible, in the most atrocious way. They say they gave their lives so that their lives can be taken at the cost of keeping Imam Hussein alive, at the cost of keeping the children of Imam Hussein alive. You know, and the whole ummah, you did not have that many people who were that excellent. You didn't have that many people. Imam Hussein's army was small. One after one, they showed why they are great. One after one, they showed why they were chosen to be great. That they chose this greatness for themselves. And as they fell, their only fear was that we would not be alive to protect the Hussein and his children. We would not be alive for that. And when they all went, their fears became true. Now it was time for the children of Hussein to show why they are great. When all the people who came are adults, my friends, adults, who made the conscious choice to be with Hussein, they were there. Now, I want you to see what quality is the children of Hussein. I mean, what is their quality? What is their light? Really, I mean, you know, children, you don't expect them to be like adults. But when their vision and when their attitude and when their goals are greater than any adult that can come near them, then you know that these are special children and these are the children of Ahlul Bayt. So when the children remain behind, the first one to go, was Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar went. Ali Akbar went, and when Ali Akbar's body came back, the camp was incensed. The camp was just turned over because the first blow to the children of Imam Hussein was a heavy blow. It was Ali Akbar that they took. And that's why Zainab and all the ladies had just changed. Everyone was now seeing that this is it. Ali Akbar is gone. Ali Akbar is gone. And now when Zainab saw Ali Akbar's dead body, you know, when Zainab saw Ali Akbar's dead body, she looked at her own two sons. She looked at Aun and Muhammad. She looked at them and said, "Why are you still alive? Don't you see Ali Akbar is dead? Don't you see Hussein's son is dead? Why are you still alive?" Aun and Muhammad, you know, obviously all the children of Hussein, in their bravery, in their courage, in their vision, in their maturity, there is no example of that. These two children, not even older than 11 years old, one is 11, one is 9. Both of them, they go, you know, they go to their uncle and they say, "Uncle, when is our turn? When is our turn?" Imam Hussein looks at them and says, "Go back to your tent, lest you make me ashamed before Zainab. You want to go in there and die? Don't you see you'll be dead? How will I face your mother? No. Go back inside." And there, when they went inside, they were hiding from their mother because they knew their mother would be upset at them for not having gone yet. She thinks they're already gone. Some time goes by and they're outside her tent. And when she knows that they're outside the tent, she calls them in and she says, "What is wrong with you? I thought you have already gone. I thought you're already dead. Why are you still here?" They said, "Mother, what can we do? Uncle doesn't allow us." "Uncle Hussein doesn't allow us." Zainab said, "Is that the reason why? Zainab knew Hussein." My friends, Hussein loved Zainab very much. Imam Hussein loved Zainab very much. He loved his sister so much that any time he wanted some peace of heart, he would come to Zainab into her tent and said, "Zainab,
You say, yes, my brother, can I come in? Hussein would go in and he would look at Zainab, and Zainab would say, what do you want? He says, what I want is what I got. I just wanted to see you. You have given my heart calmness. Every time Hussein used to be disturbed, he would look at Zainab and would find peace in looking at Zainab. He would find peace in looking at Zainab. And now Zainab also knew Hussein very well. Zainab also knew Hussein very well. Zainab was upset when the children did not go to war, but she was then, when she heard that Hussein was not allowing it, then Zainab sent word to Hussein, Hussein, come in my tent. Hussein, come in my tent. So they came, he came inside the tent. He came inside the tent. You know, Zainab understood that Hussein sees Zainab outside wanting to send on and Muhammad. Out of shame, Hussein would bow his head. Out of shame, he would bow his head. When Hussein came inside, Zainab said, brother, I call you in the tent because if I came outside, you would bow your head, and I don't want you to bow your head today. Let it be raised high. Let it be raised high. Do not put your head down today, Hussein. Make your head high so everyone can know you stand proudly here. See how much Zainab knows Hussein. Hussein came inside, his head bowed down, knowing what Zainab wants. But how can Zainab ask? She asked in the only way that she knows. The only way that she knows that Hussein would never say no to. One way that Zainab had, and the secret that Zainab had that no one else knows. They had told her children. The children said, he doesn't want to send us. She says, I know how to make him say yes. I have an oath that I can take in front of him and he will have to say yes. When Hussein came inside, she said, for the love of my mother, send him to the battlefield. For the love of Fatima. When Hussein heard his mother's name, he had no choice and said, go. Permission was granted. Permission was granted. You know, permission was granted. Hussein, Hussein, my friends, the children of Hussein are special. The children of Imam Hussein's camp are special. They're not normal children. They're not ordinary children. They have been raised to be great. They have been raised for excellence. Zainab calls her two sons and she says, you know, I have prepared you. I have prepared you for this. She had made two amamas for them. And she said, you know who these amamas belong to? You know the turban. You know who these turbans belong to? The children looked at her. She said, this is the turban of Haider Karrar, your grandfather Ali. And this is the turban of your paternal grandfather Jafar Tayyar. She put Jafar Tayyar's turban on one head and Imam Ali's turban on the other head. And now she said, now my children, you're ready. Go and show them whose grandchildren you are. You belong to Jafar Tayyar. You belong to Haider Karrar. You belong to the blood of noble people. When they heard the speech image of Zainab, they walked out the tent with so much pride, with so much love for Haq and truth. They walked out the tent and they went right away to Abbas. Abbas, you know, Abbas was their teacher. Abbas was their trainer. Abbas was their role model. They went to Abbas. Abbas looked at his students. He looked at his disciples. He looked at them with pride. And he said, my sons, my dear children, you make me proud today to be your teacher. You make me proud today to be your teacher. When Hussein saw them, his heart melted. He hugged them, both of them. He hugged both of them. He says, I know where you're going to, but today no one can stop this from happening. Today, no one can stop this from happening. So they poured Aun and Muhammad on horsebacks. They put Aun and Muhammad on horsebacks. Now these are just children. They're just children. And they're going in the midst of an army. And as they went, they charged. They went inside the army. Abbas was intensely looking at the field. He was intensely looking at the field. He wanted to see his children. He wanted to see his disciples, his students in warfare. And he was looking at them. He trained them so he knew how they would fight. They went and they attacked. How long can they stand for? Both of them, the first one to fall. The first one to fall was Muhammad. Oh, and when he saw Muhammad fall, he went towards him. They were separated. Then Muhammad was on one side. And when Aun fell down, Abbas could not wait any longer. He got onto his horse and started riding towards them. By that time, Muhammad was between the army. They were hitting him. They were chopping him. They were hacking at him. He's only a child. He's only a child. How much do you want to slay him? Hussein went to get Muhammad. Abbas went to get Aun. Abbas reached Aun and found his corpse on the ground. He picked up Aun and Hussein picked up Muhammad. Zainab did not come out to see her children. Zainab did not come out to see her children. It was Abbas and Hussein who brought the children back to the tents. And when they brought them back to the tent, they took him in the tent where Zainab is. They laid them down. Zainab saw her two children on her side. Bid farewell to Aun and Muhammad. Mu'mineen, give your condolences to Rasulullah. Rasulullah, this is how your blood was shed. When Hussein came to give condolences to Zainab, he saw my friend's last words and give your condolences. Shed your tears for Hussein and his loneliness in Karbala. His children are dying. Aun and Muhammad are sitting there. He says, he looks at it and Muhammad is still breathing. Muhammad was still breathing. And he told Zainab, Zainab, you know Muhammad is still breathing. Muhammad is still breathing. Zainab goes close to Muhammad. Muhammad looks up at Zainab. He just says in his vast few breaths that he has. He talks to Zainab. One sentence he can say. And he says, Mother, are you pleased with me? Mother, are you pleased with me? Mother, are you pleased with me? Zainab's heart melted. Zainab's heart melted. Zainab, how can she hold her tears back? She didn't want to lose herself. She didn't want to break down for Onan Muhammad. She had Hussein to cry for, she knew that. She had Hussein to cry for. She didn't want to break down. But Hussein saw that Zainab was holding back. She was holding back. Hussein said, Zainab, you know, I've done everything you asked me to do. I have done it. Now, Zainab, there's one thing I want. I want you to do it for me, Zainab. Do this for me, Zainab. He said, what is that, brother? Anything for you. I will give whatever for you. He said, Zainab, since we had Onan Muhammad with us, since we left, I never saw you hug Onan Muhammad. I didn't saw you embrace them. Zainab, for my sake, one last time, embrace Muhammad. What did we say?
Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.